we took insane amount of actions. I started taking on things that I've never done before. I got into commercial, 2 or 3 shopping centers, buying an office building. This is all new. Like, I never had a chance to learn. The way I thought was, I'm a pretty smart guy and I'm willing to do the work.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm joined here with the number one wholesaler in Memphis, Rashid Algarati. He's been a friend of mine for quite some time. He's 23 years old. He's got $5 million in commercial and residential holdings. He's got an interesting story because he dropped out of college, and that's when he got into real estate. And now he operates a 7-figure net company. Rashid, how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Neil.
I'm excited that you're here. We've known each other for some time. Maybe let's bring everybody else up to speed. You know, let me start here. Life's a journey. Maybe let's start at the beginning. How'd you get into real estate?
So I got into real estate, I'd say probably around 2016, 2017. I was in college and I was a finance major and I was just going to school and, you know, just one day just kind of fed up with doing the same thing. And I really had to sit down and think, hey, what am I going to do with my life? Yeah. And at that time I was also paying for school. So, you know, I just really had a couple months of where I was just really thinking about, hey, what is that next step? Because I knew college really wasn't it.
Wasn't it for you.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it for me. Yeah, it wasn't it for me. And I've always known that, like, real estate. I've always had family members in some sort of real estate, you know, we're just owning some properties. Nobody really was, like, full-time in real estate, but had owned properties. And I, for some reason, some odd reason, it gave me, I don't know, it was something that I wanted to own assets. I wanted to be able to own it, see it, drive past it. It was something that I was really passionate about. And I knew that was one way to kind of get out of the rat race. So especially being in finance and being a finance major, I knew that that was one way I wanted to be able to kind of get out of that rat race and build a life that, you know, supported my lifestyle. So I dropped out of college.
What year was that?
That was in 2017. Dropped out of college. Yep. I dropped out of college. My parents were really upset with me. And I quickly got into just researching all different types of real estate, how to get in low money down real estate. But at that time, I really didn't have any money, didn't have any support from my family, especially after just dropping out of college. So in 2017, I found out about pretty much just wholesaling, right? And I just did as much research as I could on the concept and assignments and how to make money without having to buy the asset. So I spent the last 6 months really just going to YouTube University and just learn as much as I can. And then I actually signed up with a local coach in Memphis.
So not a RIA, but somebody locally who
someone locally. Yep, she was doing deals and she was kind of bringing on students. So I actually signed up with her, and that helped big time because I kind of knew the concept, but didn't know what actions to take. Right. Didn't know
so conceptually, you understand what wholesaling was, but it was the ABCs, correct, the 1, 2, 3s, if you will. What, do this, do that, then this, yeah, right? Just that piece was lost.
Yep. That piece was lost. Yep. So, you know, signed up with her. We were doing direct mail at that time. And then, you know, within, I think I got my first deal 6 or 7 months later. Yeah. And it was about $1,700 was my first deal. That year I go,
what'd that feel like?
Oh, it was amazing. I remember the closing and everything. It was probably my easiest deal I've ever done in my life. It was a really good house in the suburbs. Seller just called. Mother just moved in with him. Doesn't need the house. He was an attorney. He's just like, I just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
We didn't really have to negotiate. This is the price. You take it as is or just leave. And at that price, it worked for us. So
It's kind of funny that you said that was the easiest deal, because oftentimes the smallest ones are the absolute hardest deals.
The smallest ones are the hardest deals. Correct. But that one was easy for me because at that price that he was asking, it was a deal. And he was a straight shooter. He was like, look, don't waste my time. This is as is. I know it needs work. I'm wanting 120. If you can do 120, we can move forward. So we ended up walking up at 120. And, you know, this person that I signed up with had already buyers, already knew the area. So she was able to sell it quickly. And from there, you know, we made $1,700, I think, a piece at that time. And that was my first deal. From there, I think I did another two more deals that year. So for the year, I did three deals in 2017. 2018, yeah. And from that point, Neil, from the point that I actually cashed a check,
yeah,
and I was able to get that check and actually know that, hey, this is real, I was just hooked.
Yeah, it's not theory.
It wasn't theory. It was real. You were able to actually test it and actually see that, hey, this is how this looks. This is the process. And, you know, see the whole transaction, even from the title companies. From there, then I just started working at it. It was a slow path, though. It was a very slow path because I still was working part-time, working with my father, pay for marketing, right? That costed money.
Yep.
So from 2018, I probably did another six or seven deals in 2018.
In 2018,
these were little deals. These were $3,000 to $5,000 at most. So it barely covered my marketing.
Yep.
Barely making money, but I knew the concept was real. In 2019, I went full-time. And that was the year.
So you burn the ships. You're done working in,
yep, I was like,
in dad's business. Yep.
This is legitimate. I know this is real.
Yep.
If I spend the same amount of time and be consistent with it, I can make this work. And I just went full time. And I believe in 2019 was the first year I did my first six figures.
Yeah.
Just was dabbling around, just taking as much action as I could. Actually got an office, which was a dumb idea, but everybody wants to get an office early on. So I had me a little office, but I went there every day and it was just different, you know? So I took on a lot of action, took on a lot more deals, different marketings, different, you know, sales training. And I did six figures in 2019.
And at the same time, because I know you well, you invested very heavily in education to bring yourself up that learning curve.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
2019 was like the first year I actually spent thousands of dollars on mentors.
Yeah.
And then I'd say around 2020 was the year that really started to kind of catch up and really start moving on. Because in 2020, I hired my first, I started hiring VAs and I hired my first acquisitions manager. And that really got things.
So rolling. Up until 2020 through 2019, when you did six figures, You didn't have an acquisition manager. It was all you.
2019 was all me.
All you. Yeah.
I did all the market. I was even the cold caller at that time. I didn't even have a cold at that time. So I did everything. So until 2020, I was like, okay, there's got to be a better way. So, you know, I hired a few cold callers and I actually hired my first acquisitions guy. That year we went and I think we did it right at $400,000 to $500,000 for
2020.
Gross. With one acquisitions guy, I think a few cold callers. And just slowly started getting the concept. And that's when I really started seeing the profits from the wholesaling operations. Because at times I never took a profit, you know, till today, I rarely ever take a profit. It's always just back in the business.
Well, today, just for everybody's sake, that would have been true early on. But today, when you say back in the business, I know what you mean. You mean acquiring property.
Oh, now.
You don't mean back into marketing. You mean acquiring assets.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to clarify that for everybody. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did right at $400,000 to $500,000 for 2020. But last year, I was actually just throwing it back into marketing. And I didn't buy my first property until December of last year, right?
December of 2020. So, as we're recording this, it's December of 2021.
Correct.
A year ago, almost to the day, you bought your first. Yeah.
Bought my first rental. It was about $51,000. Mm. And that was my first purchase, you know, my real purchase that I bought in real estate. From there, Neil, in 2021,
yeah,
I currently own about 28 to 29 units.
Yeah. So you went from one? It's called one to 29.
28, 29. In
exactly 1 year.
Uh-huh. In exactly 1 year. Went to flip on probably another 20, 25 properties. Mm-hmm. Got into commercial 6 months ago. You know, I'm on my fifth commercial deal. We're closing on an office building next week. We just sold a commercial building right now for $1.4 million that we're 1031 exchange. You know, we're going to do a 1031 exchange to buy some more assets, right? A bigger property with it. Yeah. So we, you know, I just really just every dollar I made from the assignments and from the flips, looked at it as it was cash in my pocket that I had to burn. And how do I burn this cash? Because this cash, you know, a dollar is only worth a dollar today, right? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow it's worth less. you're always, you know, you're facing inflation. But in real estate, what I realized was, Neil, it's really hard to make $500,000.
Yep.
Right.
To net.
That $500,000 is very hard.
Especially with the way taxes are. Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard buying $1 million property.
Nope.
For $500,000. Right. You know, having to put $200,000 in it.
Right.
And something that's going to appreciate, especially in the last year and a half.
Right.
A lot of appreciation. So that concept, stuck in my head. And
yeah, you've got to get that money. Grant Cardone says something like that. I'll butcher the quote, but it's something like idle money gets lazy.
Correct.
Idle money gets lazy. It's got to go to work.
It's got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to go to work. And for me, real estate just made sense. We were in a bracket where we were going to be taxed high. I was going to be taxed high. Mm-hmm. So buying assets, I was able to kind of depreciate a lot, right?
Yep.
You know, I was collecting rents. I am collecting right now $328,000 gross rents from a 1-year portfolio that I started about, same time this year.
Mm-hmm.
So out of that gross 328, I collect somewhere between 150 and 160,000 that comes in net every single year.
Yeah.
That is net to my pocket after mortgage, taxes, expenses, and everything.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batch Leads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. People are wondering how you might do that. And I know you, it's because you've got money poured into these assets. You're not one of the guys who takes as much leverage as you could possibly get. You're a person who's invested in his real money in his assets. Right. By rolling the success of the wholesale into fix and flip and then into properties.
Correct. So I probably out of the $4 or $5 million I have right now, I have about $850,000 in loans. Everything else is owned outright. So, and it's
incredible.
Just the beauty of just buying assets. You know, I've been able to double the value of, at least the value of my money. Right.
The value of your money. Correct. Yes. The compound in your money, not just the asset level, but yes. Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
So tell me where are you at today? What's the team structure look like? And what's the focus today for the team?
Yeah. So right now in the wholesaling operations, we have three acquisitions.
Three guys.
Three acquisitions. We have one lead manager, and then we have a dispo / transaction coordinator. Those are the guys that are dealing with our acquisitions and sales. And then from there, we just do cold calling. So I don't do any RVMs. I do cold calling and I do SMS.
No mail.
No mail.
No mail. No TV. No radio. No pay-per-click.
No SEO, PPC, just cold calling. It's been working for me for 4+ years. So I've gotten used to it and I've gotten able to dial it down. And it works for us. It produces deals every day.
You've simplified to multiply.
Correct.
Yeah. You've
Correct.
Been able to become an expert at one and really two between text and call.
Correct.
Two things.
Well, the texting, we do texting since we're already buying these data, right? We're buying these numbers as, hey, it's
the information. Do you already have the number?
I already have the number.
You're just doing one other thing with it.
Correct. So it produces some deals. It's not the best, but it works and it's pretty cheap. But cold calling is our bread and butter. That's where we make our most amount of money from. So, yeah. And that's pretty much it. The operations is, Neil, to be honest with you, it's simple. It's not crazy big. It's a simple team. You know, we run really lean on our wholesaling operations. We're really big on taking the most amount of money that we could from the income that's coming in. Because, I want to make sure that I'm doing 7 figures and I'm taking a good chunk of that 7 figures. You know, I don't want to be in a business where I'm making 7 figures and I'm at the end of the day, I clear 200.
Correct.
So I run a lean system, and we do 10, 15 deals every single month in Memphis alone. So yesterday we had our biggest day. I mean, yesterday we had 9 contracts
Nine contracts yesterday.
Nine contracts.
Just incredible.
And it's just bizarre how that works. But yeah, it's a simple team.
You know, one of the things that I like and respect about you best is you built an amazing culture. It's a unique culture because not everybody would fit into it. I mean, maybe tell everybody what's that like, and then let's dig a little deeper into culture, because I think some of this is, you know, we talk about this, you know, as people get into the business, it doesn't get spoken about very often, but as you build a business, as you progressed from you to a team, there had to be some thought, some structure in there to what type of people you want, what's it going to look like, you know. Yeah. And some of that's a reflection of you and your personality and how that manifests itself into, you know, the circle you keep.
Sure.
Yeah, tell me about that. So I guess maybe let's start with, what's a culture like? Maybe you can describe it for everybody else, because I've obviously been in your office. I've seen it firsthand. I know the guys. Right.
Yeah. So it's we're really all like friends. You know, if you come to the office, it's a really cool environment. People, everyone there are good friends. They hang out after work. They know each other's kids. They attend each other's birthdays. They're family. You know, I mean, we've gotten really, really close with each other. So we really have really solid, you know, a good relationship with each other, right? The guys come to me, they talk to me as if I'm a friend. They know I'm always there for them to, if they have any questions or problems or anything they need, they can easily come on me, right? So we have a really good relationship. We have a really good friendship with each other. You know, we're really big on working with the team and having that, you know, just team leadership with each other and just being able to be there for each other, right? So that's one thing that is different versus other companies or other environments. It's all competitive. It's like, hey, work against each other. Don't talk to each other. No, we're, you know, you'll see guys in our, you know, I promise you, the other day, one of my acquisitions guys was like, hey, let me give this lead. That was a deal, right? To another acquisitions guy. And I was like, why are you going to do that? Well, he's like, hey, I'm getting ready to leave to a birthday party and I want to give it to this guy so he can make a commission. I was like, are you guys going to split the commission? He's like, no, it's okay. I don't want to split the commission. He can have it. Right. So, you know, very different than other environments. You know, they're really there to help each other out. And they all are on the same goal, and it's to grow the company out and just blow this thing up as, you know, big as we can.
Well, a lot of that, I think, comes from your position as a leader and your mentality of infinite abundance.
Correct.
That there's no limitations.
There is no limitations.
Right.
And they've gotten to see that here in the last kind of year and a half that we've had this growth and we're consistently growing. So there's no limitations. And yeah, that's pretty much our operations. I mean, we go out, we have lunch, you know, quite often. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll get invited to, we'll work from other people's houses. I've had times where I'm working from my, you know, one of my employees' house. And he's like, hey, let's come over. We got the grill going on. We're working the patio. So that's the environment that we have.
You guys, right? You guys will shut the door and lock dudes in the room and start making calls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
start
how we
closing deals.
And just start closing deals. So that's how we do things here. It's a little bit different, but it's definitely worked out really, really well for us. And it's, you know, one thing is that a lot of the guys that are on my team are hungry go-getters and always are learning, you know, they're just a student to this game and they're wanting to learn more and they're wanting to be a part of something much bigger and just kind of keep growing with it. So it works out really well for me.
Tell me about, nobody gets here alone. So talk to me about the beginning of your life. Who had the greatest single influence in your life and how's that shaped you today?
That would be my father. You know, my father is a businessman. You know, I was the oldest child, so I got to spend a lot of time with my father, but I got to spend a lot of time in his businesses because he was always working. So he was probably the guy that molded me to today. He was the guy that I looked up to because he was such a great guy. He taught me a lot of ethics, a lot of morals. Hey, like, these are things you never steal. You know, if you ever do a job, Rashid, you want to make sure you do your best. He's like, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're picking up trash. He's like, if you're picking up trash, you become the best trash picker. You know?
Yep.
These are the things that you need to do. Because from here, if you ever needed a job, if you ever needed a loan, if you ever needed something from anyone, people will know your ethics. People will know who you are. Right? And if you need something, and he's like, I promise you, you'll need someone one day. They're there for you. Right? And treat people how you want to be treated. You know, so my father was one of those guys that he had a lot of patience, was a hardworking man, but stayed to himself, didn't bother anyone. So I learned a lot from him. And he was a guy that I look up to every day. And I always want to aspire to be just a little bit like him and having the patience and having the ability, just the way he does business, man. I could go for, this could be another podcast. Just on
Exactly. Great guy. Tell everybody for the audience sake, what business your father in?
Yeah. So my father runs in the gas station convenience business.
Yeah. I think that's important for everybody to understand, because everybody thinks, I want to put some context around what that's like, because that meant you were there ultimately grinding. Yeah. I mean, working, that is not an easy business. It's got to get done, and there's people, there's action. There's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
And you got to surround yourself with, certainly in that business, where people and things are accountable.
Yeah. There was days, I think early on, my father would work for 14, 16 hours a week for three years. I mean, 7 days a week, you know, for years on. So, I mean, there was a while where, you know, he had to do this for a very long time before he could hire other people and make sure he had enough money to keep it going. So, yeah, it's a very tough business. I've ran businesses. I've ran gas stations. We've sold. We've bought. I've done a lot in the gas station business with my father. And I'll tell you, it's one of the most difficult businesses to run.
Yeah, it's not an easy business. And then certainly with the advent of electric vehicles, that business, you know, over the next coming years, who knows, it may take a decade or so, it's certainly going to change, right?
It's certainly going to change.
Whatever it looks like, it'll be different. That's certain. Tell me, what's the biggest win you've had?
Biggest win I had this year, I'd say, Neil. So I bought a shopping center this year, Neil. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how that worked. It was my second commercial deal. It was the second shopping center. I bought it about 3 months ago. I paid about $480 for it. And from there, I went in there and I literally raised the rents on every single tenant. It was 8 tenants. Mm-hmm. Some tenants were subdividing to other tenants. Some tenants were doing, I mean, it was a funky building with all these expenses and all these things that were, it was just a mess. And I remember I was talking to a couple of my buddies and I was like, hey, I'm working on this deal. I think it's a good deal. And a lot of people were just like, no, not really. In fact, Neil, the bank itself said, we don't like this building here. We don't really even like the area where it's located. I was like, guys, but it's a 19 cap the way it sits, right? It was like, yeah, but just the location. They're like, the only reason we're lending you the money on this deal is because of you, right? We don't care about the deal. We just want to lend you.
Yeah.
Because my financials at that time were, you know, amazing.
Yep.
I had no loans. So they lend me the money on this deal, and it was a 19 cap that I bought from this guy. And this guy was no dummy. He owned shopping centers for very long time. He built a shopping center. But I said, went in there, I renegotiated leases. People were breaking the leases, subdividing to other tenants, all that good stuff. So we went in there and we just, we raised the rents. Some tenants, we raised the rents upwards of $1,000. And if you know anything about Memphis, $1,000 up in rent, you know, from someone that was paying $2,000 to $3,000 is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I did that, Neil. And then from there, when I raised the rent, and I think I spent maybe another few $1,000s on cleaning up the property, very little money that I did into repairs, the property was up, you know, it was stabilized. At that time, I felt like I've done my job. So I was like, well, now in theory, this building that was worth $480, or at least it was worth $1 million when I bought it, but the building that I paid $480 is now worth $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my agent and he was like, well, yeah, we can sell for this price. And then I was like, well, how about we just try to list it? He was like, yeah. He's like, if you want to sell this building, Rashid, right now for $1.4 million, I can get it sold. But I just don't want you to, he's like, are you sure you want to get this thing done? And I really did not want to sell it. But then I was like,
sure.
You know what? Some of these tenants, I've pushed the rent so high.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how well they can last.
Yeah.
So we ended up listening, Neil, and we sold it for $1.4 million under contract as we speak. And they're going through their inspection process. We had probably 30 calls on that deal.
Wow.
Multiple offers. They all came out asking. I wish it was above asking, but
yeah.
Multiple offers asking, and I'm netting $900,000 on that deal.
Dude.
That deal itself, Neil, took me probably 5 hours to do.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. Amazing.
The harder you work, the easier it gets. Isn't it true?
That is true.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Thinking about adding people to your team now or in the next year? New and experienced investors alike are turning to the definitive book on hiring written by yours truly. It's called Unicorn Hunting for Real Estate Investment Companies. How to easily attract, screen, and land a unicorn. It's the complete hiring funnel. This book is a step-by-step process. It includes the secret sauce for attracting more applicants than you'll ever need, the exact resources to use along with screenshots, so it's easy to follow, how to accurately compensate the role and find candidates who will work for 15 to 30% less than the average wage in your home city. P.S. No, we're not shipping the jobs overseas. How to weed out applicants, including the exact word for word my team uses in our own business. Every single email needed for the entire process, it's all included. The screening tools used when interviewing, when to make the job offer. It's so easy that 90% of the work that goes into unicorn hunting can be done by someone else or a VA. This book retails on Amazon for $49.95. But since you listen here to Real Grit, I want to say thanks. I want to give you a free copy. I just ask that you cover the shipping handling. To get your free copy along with a few valuable bonuses I have not yet even mentioned, go to www.landaunicorn.com. That's www.landaunicorn.com right now to get your free book.
Yeah. Things just come into your life. It's just the way it is.
So that was my biggest win for 2021. For sure.
What, maybe summarize, where are you guys at? I understand where you're at right now. Where are you headed? What's 2022 look like for everybody, for the team?
2022. So for 2022, my goal and assignment is that I want to do $3 million in assignments, right? So for the
$3 million in assignments.
$3 million in assignments is the goal. Our goal is to do $5 million in flips, right? So we want next year, we're really going into heavily flipping. So we're wanting to shoot for 3 million assignments, 5 million in flips. And from there, for the commercial side, or at least the holding side, I want to own $20 million in assets by next year, by the end of the year. So 20 million is the goal. And, you know, that money, and the way it works, Neil, the beautiful thing is that the wholesaling business allows me to, it gives me the capital to buy more flips. And the flips I do gives me the capital to buy more commercial.
What I hear you saying, the wholesaling gives you the cash to buy the flips. The flips then give you really the ultimate profit, because your profit the profit on that, on the flips is juicier than the wholesales. That then in turn, so it's a profit roll up, profit from wholesales, roll into bigger profit in the flips, and then roll into the holdings and the commercial.
Correct.
I got it. Okay.
So that's how that works, and it works well. And then we get to, you know, there's times where some of our deals on the wholesaling side, we take them on because it just makes more sense to take on the flip and make $60,000 or just sell to someone else and make $20,000. So, you know, it allows us to kind of have all options are open for us, where we're maximizing. Our goal is to maximize everything that we do. So as long as we're maximizing, we're happy with that. So that's the goal for us to maximize.
Yeah, great. I want to move into our final segment, what I call the 4-4 impact.
Four for impact.
Okay. So let me start here. Success isn't owned, it's leased, and rent's due every day. JJ Watt said it. It's your favorite quote. Why?
So it reminds me, this is a quote that I truly love, because Neil, I could be talking to you today at $5 million, right? And some people could say I'm successful at this time or at this age or at this level. But if I'm not willing to do the work today, that level of success is not guaranteed tomorrow. Just because I have it today does not mean I have it tomorrow. So I love that quote saying success is leased and rent is due every day. So success is leased. And if you're not willing to do the work today, you could lose it tomorrow, right? So that's a quote that's always stuck in my head, and it's always kept me going, because I've seen people get to a certain level of success and then just stop. And from there, just it goes downhill. So I just, you know, that's what kind of keeps me on the boat and just says, hey, look, as long as I want to be successful, every day I wake up, I need to pay that due. And every day I pay that due, it ensures that tomorrow I have another shot, or I have that seat there. So
for you, goes past being successful. I use that in quotes, right? Yeah. There's something much deeper about you committing to being your best, and which is why you invest so much in education and understanding, you know, not what to do, but also who you are as a person and where you're headed. Yeah.
Right.
So, what do you think holds most investors back?
What holds most investors back? Yeah. I think the fear, honestly. You know, I think the fear of not knowing the outcome is a big factor for a lot of investors. You know, people are always in this analysis paralysis stage. that's one thing that, you know, they never get to the part of actually taking the action, Neil. You know, one of the biggest things, if you would ask, hey, what is the biggest difference between 2020 and 2021 and how we've, like, you know, built millions of dollars in equity? I mean, this is a crazy year for us, was that we took insane amount of actions, pulled insane amount of triggers, bought the most amount of properties, started, you know, I started taking on, you know, things that I've never done before, right? I got into commercial, got from commercial, I got into, you know, two or three shopping centers, buying an office building. You know, this is all new. Like, I never had a chance to learn. The way I thought was, I'm a pretty smart guy and I'm willing to do the work. No matter what the work is, I am willing to do the work. But in this market, you can't sit on the sideline and think you're going to be able to do your research, then make this, you know, because there's so many players that are playing. You know, you're playing in a game where there's so many guys. So what I did was, when I thought there was a deal, and I was really good at analyzing deals, but when I thought something was a deal, I bought it. I pulled the trigger. And from there, when I bought it, I'd figure it out later. I told myself, as soon as I close on something, I'll figure it out. It doesn't matter how long it took. And it was true. It, you know, there was days I worked to 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning to figure things out, but I'm here today and it worked out fine. So I'd say the biggest thing is that people are playing on the sidelines and not knowing where to start, not knowing what their first deal looks like, and not really taking action. They want it to be perfect. They want it to, you know, they're reading all these books. They're reading how to do this and how to do that, and they're not failing. You know, Neil, I went in there and I fail every single
day. Yeah, you fail forward. And what you mean by fail is you learn things. It doesn't necessarily mean dollars and cents, and doesn't necessarily mean that things are fatal to you financially, right? But it means what you think it is not always what it is. You got to learn as you go. And this is how you're able to attract so many different things, is because you just continue to take action and learn new things as you go. And all of a sudden, new opportunities show up in your world because you've got an expanded breadth of knowledge and an intestinal fortitude that you may not have had some time ago, just because you've had more experiences compound.
Right.
Outside of real estate, what are you passionate about?
Helping others. I'd say I really do love helping other people. Just for me, I'm not really, I've always had, you know, for some odd reason, Neil, I get these calls sometimes, right? And I get calls from other people. And I sometimes will be on a call with someone for an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
When I have a busy day
ahead of me,
and it's just maybe someone's going through something, not always real estate involved, but sometimes just whatever that is. I just enjoy helping people and just kind of giving them advice from a different perspective. I've noticed that some of my closest friends, and a big factor, Neil, that having really good friends or the people around you is a big factor, your success and who you're going to be. I always went to them whenever I was in doubt or I needed some clarity on things or just needed, you know, maybe I was just emotional at that time. And in this business, you can be emotional, you know, very emotional. And I would go to them. So, you know, I've always felt like, you know, this business has been good to me. I've talked to many people and many people have helped me on early on before I had any deals or any kind of money. So I always felt like I had to pay that forward. So a lot of people call me and I try to give them my best advice. I mean, some of this advice I've paid $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in mentorship. Some of this advice is I've lost six figures on mistakes I made. So I do love helping people out.
Yeah. Well, that leads me to my last question, the 4x4 impact, and it may be the same answer for you, is what's your favorite way to make an impact? Sound like that may be it.
Yeah, that's about it.
It's really cool when your passion can line up with your ability to make impact in the lives of others.
It is. The other day I started recently going out. I started challenging myself to be a little bit more on social media and going, you know, being a little bit more public and going out there and talking to people and just kind of sharing my story. And so I did my first like investor coffee meetup about a month ago. That was literally the day before, Neil. I kid you not. I was having dinner with one of our guys, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey, come to downtown, burgers on me. So I come out there and I was like, hey, man, we really need to start touching our network and really talking to people and networking with other investors, newer wholesalers, lenders, whatever the case might be. My goal, Neil, was to be the biggest guy in Memphis. And I mean this, that I want to be a part of every single transaction that hits Memphis, right? And that's kind of like the goal we're pushing. And, you know, I was like, hey, how do we do this? We really need to start marketing and we really need to get out there. So he was like, well, let's do this. So I was at the bar. I was having a burger with one of my guys that works with me. And I sent this post. I was like, hey, guys, who wants to meet up? at this building for coffee. And immediately within 5 minutes, we had like 15 people, which was scary to me. But anyways, the next day I show up and we had probably 30 to 40 people come out. And it was really good because, you know, people were coming out and they're asking you questions and how did you do this and how did you get started? We actually had one of the biggest buyers in the country come out. He reached out to me. He's like, is it cool if I come out? I was like, yeah, come out there. So we had a lot of guys, a lot of realtors, a lot of agents. And Neil, a week later, a guy calls me. He's like, hey, man, your coffee that you had has allowed me to sell a deal to this one buyer that showed up there that day. And I made like $20,000 to $30,000. And I was like, man, that's amazing. Another guy, and this one really kind of stuck with me, was a guy was like, man, I came out to your investor meetup that day. And you said something to me that really changed my life. And now I'm really working on taking action. And I got my first contract. And for other people, that might not mean anything. But for me, that was greater than cashing any check, you know, saying someone that you had some kind of impact on someone's life. And you were able to change the trajectory of where this guy was going by just, you know, giving him a few steps on what to take to get to that next level. So these are the things that this is how I plan on putting impact on people. If that answers your question.
Yeah. No. That's just tremendous. Well, it's been a lot of fun here connecting with you, talking to you. I mean, I'll put it in my words. I know you wouldn't say it, but ultimately from gas station attendant and janitor, you did everything there, all the way through college dropout, not that many years later. I mean, to becoming the number one wholesaler in Memphis, owning millions of dollars of both houses and then commercial real estate, and on a trajectory to have an incredible, really next year. And then the sky's the limit in terms of where you, how you pivot and how you make some, what that vision, how that comes to shape and really on the commercial side and where you want to go. I'm going to give you the last word. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to reach out or follow you on social media? Where should they find you?
Yeah. So Facebook is a good way. Facebook, you can always just reach me at, you know, first name, last name is Rashid El Garadi, or Instagram. I can give you guys my Instagram. That's a really good way. I'm always on Instagram. I feel like the younger audiences are on Instagram. So
I love how you say younger. You're 23.
I am 23. You know, Neil, sometimes age gets behind me, but so you can always follow me on or reach out to me. My Instagram is pretty easy. It's realestate_Rashid.
Realestate_Rashid.
Realestate_Rashid on Facebook. It's Rashid El Garadi. Those are the two best ways I'd say you can reach out to me. And from there, you can always progress to get a phone number or whatever that is, right? And you can reach out to me if you have any questions. I answer my DMs. I try to do my best to really sit there and answer your questions. Don't be surprised if you send me a message, I call you. I tend to, instead of texting, I'll just call someone up and say, hey, what's going on? Let's talk about it instead of just texting about it. But those are the two best ways to reach out to me.
No, I appreciate it about you. You're a real go-giver.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, and I want to remind you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it, but let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.